Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
You're listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
This is Paul Hawksby.
This is Max Rushton.
And this is the H&J Daily, some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. Well, we had a bit of a conversation and the listeners got involved, didn't they?
Absolutely did, yeah.
Rather fine emails, texts and stories.
And not quite philosophical, which I think is important sometimes.
That's very true. Mm-hmm. We were joined by Martin Kemp, out of Spandau Ballet.
Yeah, nice man.
He was, very nice man as always. Talked a bit of football and fraud. We talked fraud.
Football and fraud. What else do you need to have a good day?
Yeah. Then we spoke to Francis Leach, Australian sports broadcaster, who covered some ground. Pickle juice, not touching the ball. And, yep, Celtic fans will be interested in what he had to say as well. And is that just about it?
I think that's pretty much it.
That's pretty much it. Yeah.
But, you know, it might be short, but it'll be golden.
It's gold.
I listened to the H&J Daily this morning when I was on my run. You and Andy, self-indulgent to listen to the ones I'm on. And I thought it was a really excellent programme.
Oh, that's good.
That doesn't mean to say this one will be.
You're going
to
obviously drag it down, aren't you?
Absolutely will,
with your presence. So here it all is. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Max.
Good afternoon, Paul. Now, quite often when we go to sleep, me and Mrs. Rushton, I'll read news. I'll just read from the paper to her until she goes to sleep.
Oh, sorry. Andy does this. Andy's Mrs. does this. So you read to each other.
Yeah, I read to each other. I was reading, I found in the back of a magazine called The Week. It originally came in from The Guardian. It's related to the England squad. Obviously, lots of people have lots of strong opinions about it. And there was a piece by Oliver Berkman, which basically asked, is free will an illusion? Stop me if this has been done before.
Oh, yeah,
okay,
yeah.
On one of the shows.
I think it's been done before.
Basically, there's a school of philosophy which suggests there's no free will. Okay, so you imagine a fruit bowl, Paul. You approach the fruit bowl, there's an apple and a banana, and you pick the banana.
Yeah, yeah.
And the question is, do you have any choice in the matter?
Oh, yeah.
Well, you say you do.
I've got a 50-50 choice, haven't I?
Here we go. Like, let me just read you one paragraph. In the fruit bowl example, there are...
I may fall asleep like Mrs. Rushton. You do realise that.
That's okay. Yeah. There are physiological reasons for you feeling hungry in the first place. There are causes in your genes, your upbringing, your current environment, for your choosing to address your hunger with fruit rather than a box of donuts, your preference of the banana over the apple at the moment of supposed choice must have been caused by what went before, presumably including the pattern of neurons firing in your brain. Mm. Okay, so...
Oh, yeah.
So, and it says, you know, so on back in an unbroken chain of your birth, the meeting of your parents, their birth, and eventually the birth of the cosmos.
All right, I'll have the apple then.
Replace the contents of the fruit bowl with the 33 England players. Yeah. Gareth Southgate had no free will in picking those right backs. He was always going to do it. So we can't criticise him. He doesn't have any control over this. Appreciate this does not help the radio. It doesn't help the radio phone in, but we have no control over whether we criticise him or not because... We don't have the free will to choose to ring
exactly
in or not
the point
to free in.
Jamie O'Hara made last night in the sports bar.
We are living out a preordained life that was set in motion by the Big Bang.
You're
so it doesn't matter.
His words back to him.
It doesn't matter if we can't bring James Ward-Prowse on to take a corner. It was preordained. So there's no point in anything.
Well, there we are. just about 10 days to the Euros then, and I think that's set us up nicely.
I think so.
Thank you. Thank you. And you read that to Mrs. Rushton, and she didn't say...
And we're still together.
Have we got another book? have you got something else you can read to me? Now, you were compared with yoghurt. You wanted to know why, wasn't
Liam
you?
Sent a text in going, in reference to Max being thought of as a yoghurt, can you do a segment about sports people who remind you of food? Well, I don't know who... I mean, I can guess.
You want to know?
I can guess it was Simon, but can you give me the context of why Simon Jordan said I was a yoghurt?
You and Simon have this kind of knockabout relationship where you banter. Don't you banter with each other?
I don't know if we banter. It's mainly based on the fact that he can't clear up after himself.
No.
He's a grown man. He may have people to do it in some
places.
He
certainly does.
But the producers are not paid to pick up cold cups of tea and tangerine peel. It's not my job. So when I come in, I tell him I'm not afraid of him. He knows long words. That's fine. He's not challenged enough in life. Frankly, he should learn. Why did he
come his conscience,
your,
aren't you, Max?
I am his conscience.
You should
on
follow
his
him
shoulder.
Around.
I should.
Follow
would,
him around being
he would love that.
Conscience. So, anyway, somebody suggested that he was the vindaloo.
Right.
And you were the yogurt.
Ah, I see.
And I think Simon added to that by saying the enema. So I don't know if Simon has yoga enemas. He's got the kind of money that would allow him to do that.
It's quite a thick yoga for an enema.
Yeah, it is. Hazelnut, we were saying. That would be a hazelnut yoga enema. Anyway, look.
You can get that from the TalkSport shop.
Yeah,
it's a service
you
that you can choose the presenter to deliver
Father's
the enema.
Father's Day is just around the corner.
Don't panic anymore.
Top five at five, hazelnut yoga enema. Not necessarily in that order.
Which TalkSport presenter you would like to deliver the enema for you or for your dad?
Let's move on. So, yeah, we're going to be looking at all the games featuring the home nation.
Jose. We've hired Jose Mourinho to deliver coffee enemas for the audio, for the listeners.
Well, maybe you'll do that for the staff.
Let's say coffee enemas, yogurt enemas, coffee enemas are a real
thing. When Jose does his work for us here on TalkSport during the Euros for heading off to Roma to improve them as a club, maybe you'll leave and buy us all Hublot watches or indeed tags for those who aren't that close to him, because that's what Sergio Aguero did. Lovely touch. Sergio left the City the other day. It's interesting, all the papers played on the fact he said Barcelona are the biggest club in the world, like it was a snub, when all he'd actually done is wander around City handing out cash and watches and a car. He left his Range Rover there, 40 grand's worth of Range Rover that he raffled.
What a guy.
One of the kit staff got it, but he put a load of money in the kitty for the staff Christmas presents, bought people watches. An absolute fortune he spent. They reckon about sort of £100,000 and a golden goodbye. I mean, I know he's not a poor man, but what's still a lovely thing to do. So we're looking for reverse Agueros today. And you could have been on the receiving end, or you could have been that person. Everybody knows the concept of the office whipband. Somebody leaves, somebody wanders up with a massive card, normally with a sort of bootful on it, massive card size of a small man. And everybody has to sign the card, X is leaving, and there's an envelope as well. And you look at it and you say, it's mainly change. This one, it depends. Sometimes it's quite a lot of notes. It's mainly change. And in the end, that person has to go out and buy that gift. And sometimes there's plenty of money. And other times, you know, you have to top it up, don't you? So we're looking for reverse Agueros. You've had a couple.
Joe says, I worked somewhere for 10 years. Mm. My leaving gift was a £5 bottle of wine and no thank you. Ben, I once left a job, got given a card and handed the whip round, which was about £2.80 in coins.
Oh, no.
The person who gave it to me sheepishly said, I guess it'll buy you a coffee.
That's bad.
Brutal, isn't it?
That's bad.
So, yeah, keep those coming,
yeah,
please.
Do let us know. Or just reverse Agueros. People, maybe not when they left, or, you know, you get the idea with that. We had another thing as well, Max. What else did we have?
In the AFL, there is a game. Collingwood, a Melbourne-based team, are going to Adelaide. There's a lot of COVID in Melbourne at the moment. There's a lockdown, but they're being allowed to go to Adelaide. But the head of health, I think, for Adelaide has said, if the ball comes towards you, if you're in the crowd, duck.
Don't touch the ball.
Just duck. Hurl yourself out the way.
All Victorians are bringing COVID to our state, so do not touch the ball. So if that's the case, we're interested in the times that you should have ducked, did duck or didn't duck, and the circumstances of
Absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. So either you got hit in the face, you ducked out the way, and someone else got hit in the face.
Yeah.
What was thrown? What were you ducking out the way of? It's a ducking-based subject.
It's all ducking.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
On the subject of when you should have ducked, in the AFL, fans are being told to duck if the ball comes near them because the ball may have COVID. Phil says, hi, Paul and Max. When I was 10, I made my own five-a-side wooden goalposts. Ah, glorious. And whilst playing with my friends, I went to run under the bar to get the ball. I misjudged it. I ran straight into it. While on the floor holding my nose, the impact of me running into it made it fall over and hit me for the second time. I never used it again.
Wow, that's great. Stooges country, that is. That's very good. Years ago at a St Johnston game with my friend that wears glasses, we were sitting at the end of the row behind the goal. During the warm-up, someone hit the ball. ball that whistled by our head. Cue a sigh of relief, and both span round to see where the ball had hit, only for it hit the corner of the stairs, rebound right into my friend's face, breaking his glasses, says Kev Stewart in Perth. Thank you very much for that.
Martin says, I was camping, and I set up the camper and pulled out the awning. I turned around, ready to move to the second awning, and I crashed into the arm of the first one. It hit me smack in the forehead. If that wasn't enough, I turned and hit the arm of the second awning. Because there's a lot of double...
There's a lot of double whammies going on. It's sort of things that if you're doing them for comedy purposes will be really tough to set up. There's never a camera there unless you get 250 quid from Harry Hill, of course. So anyway, keep them coming. Talksport.com, text 81089, tweet TSHNJ. Just one very quick reverse Aguero. He was very generous, Sergio, when he left City. I worked for a well-known high street bank of a Spanish origin for 39 years and was put on six-month gardening leave back in 2017. The last contact I had with them was a request for the return of the mobile, laptop and iPad. No card or present. I got my own back because I've still got the mobile, laptop and iPad, says Steve in Brackley. So, okay. Well, I mean, you were on gardening leave. I take it you'd got another job and that's probably why you were. So
gardening leave, what a dream that is.
And he's always wanted gardening leave.
I'm desperate for it.
He's desperate for gardening leave.
We both are.
Well, okay.
You'd have to do the show on your own,
well,
Paul, wouldn't you?
Do another bit of the, like you did at the top of the show today, and it could happen.
Listen, I think it's an important I think it's an important subject. It's something that we don't cover enough.
Bananas and apples.
Barca Jim says, oi mate, it's talk sport, not talk preordination.
Well, you say that. They tried it and it didn't work.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from Talk Sport.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Now we're talking fraud.
Of course.
Next. And when it comes to fraud, especially online fraud, you worry about your old nan, don't you? Your old nan's going to get turned over because she doesn't quite know what she's doing when it comes to the new technology. But surprisingly, research says under 35s are highly at risk.
Is that
those
right?
You would think would be completely switched on.
Because they've got the same password for everything, right? That's the problem.
What is it?
It's Jeff167.
Okay, fantastic. Yeah. So that's opened up a lot of... Anyway, joining us now to chat about that and a whole lot more besides, including his beloved Arsenal, is actor, broadcaster, bassist with Spandau Ballet, Martin Kemp. Good afternoon, Martin.
Good afternoon, guys. How are you?
Good, thank you. Yeah, you're going to spend the next 6 months looking over your shoulder because I see your boy Roman's doing a pranking show on the telly.
Oh, man. So, listen, he's been pranking me since he was a tiny nipper.
That's the thing, but you're just going to be thinking, oh, when's he going to get me? It's every week he's going to go by and you're thinking, I'm going to be in the last show of the series. So we feel for you today, Martin.
I don't know if you ever saw it on YouTube. Did you ever see the one where he filled a jam donut with the hottest chili sauce?
Oh, that's not on.
Oh,
he'd
dear.
He'd get it in the fridge and take it, and he'd film the whole thing. It was just ridiculous. Everywhere I went, I could not move without him trying to wind me up.
Blame his upbringing.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, I blame the parents. So, before we'll come back to that and other matters. But, this is quite surprising, really, because you think sort of young people are switched on, they're alive to every scam going, but they're not, are they?
No, because you know what? I watch my boy and my girl, and they're not kids anymore. They're like 30 and 28, Roman is now. But when they look at it, something they will always use their phone, and they will just scroll down until it says sign here or click on. Now, with these scams are a nightmare, you know, because they're coming from respected people. They're coming from tax people. They're coming from travel agents, anything. And then you get sent on to a website that looks as if it's real.
Mm.
So you can't tell. Now, a friend of mine recently, very clever, articulate, professional person, just got robbed for, what, £70,000?
Wow, man.
70 grand, and that's a clever person. So all I'm doing, you know, Visa came to me. They asked me to team up just to get the word out there for everyone to be aware. You know, they've started this campaign saying how you pay matters, right? They've set up the website there so you can go and check it out more. And it's making people aware, getting a conversation going.
Yeah. And, it's just, you know, think before you click on any link, especially when you get those links that are texted to you and things. You think, oh, is this my bank? Just take a second, right?
Well, there's some, though, things like banks, you're kind of a light. I mean, you know, they do catch people out all the time and they're very elaborate. But there's a post office one, Martin, that does a round that basically says you need to pay a quid to free up this parcel. And it looks so believable. And so many people have fallen for that one.
That one, there's a few. There's a tax one that's doing the rounds. Mm. You know, the tax one came to me and I was like, I was completely unsure about it until I had to phone my accountant to say, is this real? What do? Do I send it my info? And he said, no, you just got to stay away from it. You know,
a good thing to do, Martin, is you find is to kind of Google what the thing says. And invariably, this is not the first time it's ever. And people say, don't touch it. It's a scam. So Google is a useful resource when you get stuff like this, if you're not sure, isn't it?
Absolutely that. So when Visa came to me and said, do you want to be part of it? I said, absolutely, because, you know, it happens to me, it happens to friends of mine. So it could happen to my kids. So I just wanted to make people aware of it. You know, they're also doing this thing called Visa Zero Liability, which means that if your card, your credit or your debit card gets used in a fraudulent way, then you won't end up out of pocket, which I thought was a good thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Good stuff.
Martin, we know you're a big Gooner, but when it comes to the Euros, are you club before country, or are you now just starting to, you know, paint that St. George's cross on your face and, you know, stick the flag out of your car and just say it's coming home?
I would have been club before country before this season. But we struggled so much this season. I can't wait for the Euros. I am so excited. I'm like a little kid when it comes around to the Euros or the World Cup. You know, I'm first in the garage to collect my little coins. With the football faces on.
Were you ever tempted to do a football song, you and the boys? Was there ever an opportunity to do something like that? I mean, I suppose it wasn't really your thing, was it?
No, it wasn't really. I couldn't see Spandau Ballet doing that.
If only they had a song that sounded a bit like Goal.
Yeah.
They could have.
Do you know what? Yeah.
Yeah, but that was used by all the footballers.
Yeah.
Andy Cole used to use it.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah, absolutely, yeah.
So exciting about the Euros. I just, you know, flicking through the squad. I mean, what a front line that is. What a bunch of forwards we're taking with us. We're spoiled. It's incredible.
I saw Jamie Carragher say, he did a little bit in the Telegraph, and he was saying he's worried about the defence. He says, you know, ultimately tournaments are won with a good defence, and he's a bit concerned about ours. He doesn't worry so much about going forward, but defensively he's got concerns.
Yeah, you know, they've just got to step up to the plate, haven't they? You know who I'm excited about? Reece James.
Hmm.
I think he's going to be amazing.
If he starts, that is. I mean, it's quite hard to know.
We got that many right backs in the
moment. I think he's going to be the man.
Saka's in for you, isn't he? It's strange. I mean, he's had a good season. Him and Smith Rowe have had good seasons, really, in a side that really wasn't doing it.
To be honest, if it wasn't for them, you know, we would have been super poor. Mm. We were only really good when those two were playing. You know, at least we looked like we had a plan. Because, you know, otherwise, the days they never played, we looked like as if we didn't know what we were doing. We were just out on the football pitch. That's all.
You've got those. I mean, those young players do give you hope, I always think, for an Arsenal perspective. You know, him and Martinelli and Smith Rowe. There's a reason to want to go, right? I mean, it hasn't been a great season, and Arteta's still up in the air about if he's the right man. But at least you've got those young players to give you the hope.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and I think Smith Rowe and Saka, they're two great players we've got there. So we've landed on our feet for the future.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Did you see Carlo Ancelotti yesterday tweeted out his thanks to Everton? I'd like to thank Everton FC, yeah, my players and the supporters, for giving me the opportunity to manage this fantastic and historical club. Yeah. I decided to leave as I have a new challenge with a team that was always in my heart, Real Madrid. I leave taking with me all the amazing moments we've experienced together and wish the club and fans all the best. Do you think the replies on Twitter were wholly supportive or less so? What do you think?
I'm guessing the Everton fans may be smarting somewhat and probably were not that friendly to him.
General says, I'm not even angry. I'm just sad I mistook you for an honourable man. I would say good luck, but I wouldn't mean it. Keane says, well done, Carlo. You've broken my daughter's heart in floods of tears this afternoon. You said you were here for the long haul. You wanted to take us to our new stadium, and we all believed you. First opportunity you got, you dumped us. Colin, did you ever feel anything for... did you ever feel anything for us,
said
Colin.
This is the broadcastable end of what I mean. I imagine he got a fair bit of old school abuse, didn't he?
This idea that obviously, you know, that's their job, they're guns for hire. They go, you know,
if it's your manager and look, only last week he said, I'm not going anywhere.
But they all have to say that. What's he got? He can't say it when this hasn't happened. He can't say, oh, well, they can't honestly answer the question, can they? Ancelotti can't say, I'm really happy at Everton. But if Spurs came in or Real Madrid or, well, probably not Spurs, but Real Madrid or Barcelona or, you know, AC Milan, if they all came in, of course, I'd jump at the opportunity. It's a bigger club. I get paid. I might not get paid more money. I got loads of money. It's all right. This squad aren't that good. I can't do that much with them. I'm never going to get higher than sixth. Like, he can't give that honest answer.
It would be refreshing, wouldn't it?
It would be really refreshing.
If you put out that kind of message saying, I had a wonderful time, thanks ever so much, don't expect people to say, yeah, we understand, Carlo.
But it's not like when your first love leaves you and you're sitting there and, you know, the first cut is the deepest and you're there going, but did this mean nothing? Think of the good times. It's not like that. It's different. Football is a transactional thing. There's romance from fans, but players and managers are thinking a different way.
When Wes Houlihan goes to Peterborough,
well, stop it.
When he signs a contract for them next season, I'll remind you of this.
Next week,
I'll remind you of this.
Did it mean nothing,
Wes?
Did
it mean nothing?
Those
to
moments
us?
We had together, you, me, and Morecambe.
Yeah, that's
think
it.
Of it, Wes. Think of those moments.
We did put Carlos Mendes Gomez. You got us in. You said we should talk to him about the day he got stuck in a lift.
Yes,
we did that.
Oh, how was it?
It was good. He reminded us of the day he got stuck in a lift.
All right, what happened? I mean, he just got stuck in a lift.
He got stuck in a lift
alone,
the game.
Was he alone or was he with someone else? Someone he didn't like particularly. You know that would be the sitcom scene.
I should have asked him.
That would have been. Yeah. It's either someone that you don't think you're going to fall in love with, but you fall in love with, or it's someone that you hate at work, and then you slowly realise you've got more in common than you actually thought you had.
What about relationships today? Is there anything you want to talk about? I'm just wondering.
We're very happy.
I'm sure.
I read to Mrs. Rushton
about... If you keep
about...
reading of that very complex stuff out the back of a magazine, it's a marriage made in heaven.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Anthony says, I used to play darts for a pub in St. Neots. This is on the subject of ducking.
Is that all he says?
No,
it's interesting, Anthony. It's interesting. We probably need a bit more.
We were playing away in a pub in Offord Clooney, which was one of those Tudor buildings with black timber, and when the spread was put out in the back room, I eagerly hurried to get some grub, only to smack my head against one of those timber beams above the door of the back room where the spread was. Cue headache and double vision for the rest of the evening. I'm trying to throw my darts at a few darts board with my blurred vision. Eyes bigger than my belly. I should have ducked, he says.
I'm surprised you've not read Michelle, the Cambridge United fans' message.
I'm trying to make it not all about Wes Houlihan's one-year contract.
Would you like to read that as it's written?
Max O. Houlihan. Yes, get in there. Come on, Super Used. Wow. Ipswich.
It says Dipswich.
It does. Yeah. I was going to be so rude to
she's calling you a Dipswich.
Dipswich, Chef Wed, never beaten us. And Portsmouth, Sunderland, Plymouth, Lincoln, Charlton, etc. Can't wait, Michelle. 66 years a Used fan.
Wow.
Ian. Michelle or Ian, I don't know, but yeah, know, but I take the sentiment.
That's how it was written.
Yes.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
We're heading to Australia now for a couple of stories. A couple of them Aussie rules based. Another Celtic fans, hang on, from the world of football. But yeah, we'll kick off with the Aussie rules. And Collingwood are a Melbourne based AFL team. They're heading to Adelaide to play. And they've been given special dispensation because Melbourne is in lockdown, Victoria's in lockdown once again. But the Chief Public Health Officer of South Australia, Professor Nicola Spurrier, has some advice to the people going to the game. It's fairly odd. Take a listen to this.
We're looking at the seating at the moment, and of course we're looking at the ball, because sometimes the ball, as not that I've been to many football games, I have noticed occasionally it does get kicked into the crowd, and we are working through the details of what that will mean. If you are at Adelaide Oval and the ball comes towards you, my advice to you is to duck and just do not touch that ball.
Just it goes against every instinct of every fan in every stadium, just desperate to catch the ball or head the football or catch the baseball, doesn't it? But
exactly.
I really like that. I've not been to many games, but I think it goes into the crowd occasionally.
Well, how's that gone down in Australia? We speak now to Australian sports journalist and broadcaster Francis Leach. Good afternoon, Franny.
Oh, gentlemen, how are you both? Yes, it just gets crazy down here, doesn't it? Don't touch the ball! And then the hazmat suits will come, and they'll put up like a Chernobyl fence around the ball on the hill at the Adelaide Oval, and it'll glow in the dark until it's removed from its, you know, the toxic wasteland that the hills of Adelaide have become because Collingwood are in town.
I mean, it's an amazing... I mean, is it sense that I can't work it out? Or I could just think of... I just find the whole thing hilarious.
We don't have a mold. I mean, what we've done in, obviously, in soccer, we've had the multi-ball system. If the ball goes in the crowd, there's another one. It's all being cleaned and sprayed. You just have it's just a turnover of the ball, don't you, really? And just use another ball?
That happens as well in the AFL. So there's a bunch of balls that are either into the ground. If a ball goes over the fence and the ball has to be brought back into play, you know, you just toss the players a new ball and away they go. It really does describe the hypersensitivity in Australia between the states. Now, so of course, in Great Britain, a number of countries that get together, but, you know, the National Health Service is mostly working really well to vaccinate you all, which is very impressive. Here, South Australia, Victoria, New South Wales, Queensland, all got different health systems, all got different approaches to lockdown. So just a bit of background on this. The AFL had to scramble like mad in the last 48 hours because Victoria's in lockdown and because Melbourne has the majority of the AFL clubs based in it. Many of those games were going to be played in Melbourne this weekend, and these teams had to somehow get out of town without being subject to being denied entry to New South Wales or South Australia to go and play because they've come from a state where there's an outbreak. So, for instance, Collingwood, in this situation, have been told they have to hire a private jet. They'll fly into Adelaide. There'll be a bus waiting for them. They get on the bus, they go to the stadium, no one's allowed to go near them, no South Australian will come into contact with them other than the brave Adelaide Crows players who must deal with playing against the toxic and possibly infectious Magpies, get back on the bus, get back on their private plane and be sent out of there. So that's how sort of hypersensitive and tightly controlled these things are. So I guess it therefore follows. Do not touch a football that has been touched by a Collingwood player. That's where we're at. Hello, welcome to 2021.
Francis, how often does the ball go into the crowd in AFL? And what's the general protocol? Do you like lob it back, or is it more like American sports where you get to keep it and take it home?
No, it goes over the fence a bit. If you've ever watched the game, it's a bit like football or soccer. You know, sometimes the ball, pass will go, bounce over the fence and into the crowd. Not very often these days, but it does happen. And yeah, the idea is you just toss it straight back. So, of course, when there's a shot for goal, in football, there's no net. So, you know, the higher you kick it through the two middle sticks, the better it is probably. It's not going to be touched on the line and the score denied. So it often goes into the crowd at either end of the ground in the goal area. So you usually get it thrown straight back towards the person who's there guarding the bag of footballs that are then sort of recycled through the play. So that's the way it goes. I guess the idea should be now, if you do catch one of those toxic footballs, you should be allowed to go home with it, spend 14 days in quarantine and keep it.
Now, another
true. That's the way this works.
That's true. Good idea.
Can it come out, Bruce?
Yeah.
No, I'm stuck in with a ball.
Yeah.
Another story I saw a couple of months ago
Francis, which I really want. I kept bringing up in the pre-show meeting, and it kept getting knocked back.
But... Well, it's not so much knocked back, we just never got round to it.
We never got round to
it. This is the perfect opportunity.
It's a huge story. The AFL have told clubs to stop their players spitting pickle juice onto playing surfaces during games. A memo was sent from the league to the 18 clubs saying players were no longer allowed to gargle the juice and spit it out onto the turf. People were calling for spittoons for pickle juice at AFL games. So now we're getting serious, Francis.
Well, I've never tasted pickle juice, Max. Nothing else to do with it but spit it out.
What is pickle juice, actually? So is it the juice of a gherkin?
Why do they take pickle juice, then, in the world of Aussie rules?
The idea, and other sports do it as well, but the idea with pickle juice is that athletes who are on the, spent all their energy, often cramping becomes an issue. The pickle juice helps stave off cramping. Oh. So you get that down your gullet, and therefore you can keep going. But it is disgusting. I don't know if you've tried it or not. It's not on your list of cocktails at your local bar when you want to sit down and have a quiet evening. So, spitting that out, there's a lot of spitting that goes on in football. It's still happening. Don't know why pickle juice is any worse than any other.
Apparently
the ground staff.
It burns the ground. But surely if you want the pickle juice to work, you have to swallow the pickle juice, or just gargling it, and you get the salt.
Wind that back a bit there, and just come to terms with the fact that something that you're supposed to drink, if you spit it onto the grass, is going to burn a hole in the earth.
And you've got it in your mouth.
You may not want to swallow it. It's a good point. I'm not a doctor.
When smoke starts appearing from the pit, you probably know you shouldn't be doing. Finally, Francis, just a quick question on Celtic and Postecoglou, and it seems to be getting real head of steam. This few stories coming out of Glasgow that this isn't far off. What are you hearing over there?
Yeah, I've heard a few of Ange's former players come out in support of him today. Mark Milligan, former Socceroos captain, who's just retired, was asked about Ange in a press conference, and he said that Ange Postecoglou helped take his career to the next level, and he got to play back in Europe and in Asia again at the highest level. Ante Milicic, who was Ange's assistant for a number of years, is now coaching MacArthur FC in the local league, but also was with the Matildas in the last World Cup. In 2019 in France, also said Celtic, very smart piece of business. He thinks he's a fantastic coach. He's got a great reputation here in Australia. There'll be a lot of sceptics, particularly in Scotland, who don't know Ange at all or any of his achievements. Those of us who have watched him and know him know that he's up to the challenge. And if he can just have a little bit of luck and support and a bit of patience, he could do wonderful things. And I'm very excited for him because I know this has been a lifelong ambition of his, and I think he'll do a great job.
You know him well,
and
Francis.
Make the players drink pickle juice.
Well, maybe he will. You know him well, Francis. How important do you think it is? Because I think there is a view here, you know, that Australians, there hasn't been I can't think of an Australian manager who's sort of done particularly well, that it's important that he does well for Australians to sort of be respected in soccer in Europe.
Oh, absolutely, Max. This is it's the last frontier for Australian football in that regard. We've had plenty of players who've gone to Europe and to England and Scotland and elsewhere and made a success of their careers. You know, I've had really good careers, and some of them have just been outstanding at the top of their game. Harry Kewell, Mark Viduka, these guys have done wonderful things in the game. An Australian manager, an Australian coach is the next step. And I know Ange fuels that responsibility, and he's driven to prove people wrong. And he's driven to prove people wrong that because he comes from Australia and he was brought up through the Australian system, that he has an Australian mindset when it comes to the game. But, you know, his whole thing, his whole ethos when managing the Socceroos was don't let the doubters and don't let the negative people tell you that Australia can't be competitive in this game that we love so much. And that's exactly what drives him. And that's why he'll be a success, because he's incredibly focused. He's a very strong character. He knows what sort of football he wants to play. And, he'll leave it all out on the pitch, so to speak, in his attempt to be a success. And that's what you want from a manager.
Brilliant. Francis, good to talk to you as always. Thanks for joining us.
See you guys. Bye.
There we are. Francis Leach there, sports journalist over in Australia. Yeah, I mean, it, as you say, very driven. It's an interesting appointment, isn't it?
Yeah, and I've seen a lot of, you know, Celtic fans sceptical about it. I'm very hopeful that he does very well, but he's got a great track record. And, you know, football exists beyond the UK and beyond Europe, and you can be, you know, you can take things you've learned. You know, other managers have been successful in Japan and successful in the UK. Or certainly one springs to mind.
That's it, you know. Anyway, there we are.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
There we are. That was this afternoon's show. We're back tomorrow from 1, of course, with the birthday spread.
It's tricky when we've only done one show and then the birthday spread almost
it
feels
right
like
on
it's,
you, is it?
Yeah, it's right on me. I haven't had time to prepare. Obviously, I'm coming off the back of a very good victory. So you've got work to do.
Yeah.
But, you know, I can't be overconfident at this
you
stage.
Be. So the score is?
The score is. Is this part of the game, isn't
the
it?
That is, currently,
how
is
it works. 19-3.
Is it 19 or 18? Sure? I think 18? You've given me an extra game. I think it's 18-3. Okay. Don't do yourself dead.
Okay. Dangerous lead.
Thanks for listening. We'll catch up with you tomorrow from 1.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4pm on TalkSport.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.